The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. As always, the call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. You can keep this conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott. That's F-R-E-D-D-I-E, Scott, S-C-O-T-T. And as always, you can make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, The Freddie Scott Show on iTunes. As always, we always have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to have Carrie Casey, the CEO of the National Center for Fathering, joining us again as we continue our discussion about the how to be an involved father and the impact that fathers truly have, not only in marriages, but most importantly in the lives of children, and specifically how we can do a better job at being a father and making sure our children are positioned for success in life. We're going to have Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy sharing about his first car and the role that his father played in helping him get his first car, and a little Super Bowl story or his NFL story as well. And then we're also going to have the Skit Guys talking about the impact of a father's legacy. Just as always, we have a chance to be able to be joined by my friends from the NFL, Lamar Campbell, host of Life After the Game right here on Voice America, once again is joining us as we're getting ready for Super Bowl week, the most important week in football. And as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the line.
Always a pleasure to come on the line with you, Freddie. Always a pleasure. Big week coming up this week in sports.
Yeah, I think it might be just a little important in sports this week. You know, the entire all eyes on Indianapolis right now. In fact, I just came back from Indianapolis this week. The city of Indianapolis had me go up to speak to their juvenile detention center, actually. That was the first time they allowed their residents to get spoken to or ministered to. It was just amazing. They actually, for the first time, allowed the parents of the kids to come in, and we did a family day there. And it was just
awesome.
Amazing to be able to have that opportunity. But also, and I'm sure this will pull in your heartstring, not only did those kids have the needs, but I felt led just to ask them how many of these kids were already dads. And you'd be amazed. I'd say probably about 40%.
Already with that responsibility. You know, it was really good that you had a chance to get up there and give those kids a good talking to, because a lot of times they come from a situation where their dads were not around, so they can definitely learn a lot from what you've experienced, which you're doing with All-Pro Dads as well.
Yeah, I want to say thank you again to the city of Indianapolis, as well as the Indianapolis Colts, who donated an autographed football there, as well as Coach Caldwell, who donated and made sure every kid there got a copy of my book, The Dad I Wish I Had, and so we had a great time. And now moving forward, we have a huge week where a lot of people like yourself are going to be heading to Indianapolis soon to prepare for the Super Bowl, the big game. So what are your thoughts as we're going into this week? All the build-up, all the hype, you know, Brady versus Manning, and not Peyton Manning, Eli, of course. You know, what are your thoughts going into this week for the big game?
You know, I think it's going to be a polarizing experience. You know, not only is this a rematch of 4 years, the Super Bowl of 4 years ago, where you had Eli Manning going up against the Golden Boy Tom Brady, but you had Eli Manning playing in a stadium that his brother Peyton Manning built. And then you have that on top of the fact that this Peyton Manning may not actually be a Colt within a month or so. So, you know, we have that going around up there in Indianapolis as well. So I think going into the week, it's going to be a media frenzy. It's definitely going to be crazy. I think it's going to be up to the coaches to use their professionalism to keep their guys focused on exactly what's going on at the football game.
And you bring up a lot of interesting points, because there's so many things that are going on here between the dynasty of the Patriots and measuring a Tom Brady versus a Joe Montana and most wins in postseason history, and you know, the just that whole mystique of Brady and Belichick and the Patriots and truly being a dynasty, and then you know, and Eli Manning, who before this season, you know, he rated himself an elite quarterback. And got some flack for that, of course. But now here he is about to possibly win a second Super Bowl, which would be one more than his own brother, who obviously Peyton is, you know, no question, one of the best quarterbacks ever. But also, you know, you'd argue that he's had probably better chances of multiple Super Bowls as having a team that was clearly an NFL powerhouse for a decade at least, and yet only able to come away with one, and a lot of times because they couldn't beat the Patriots, and yet his brother, if he wins a second one, it would be against the Patriots. So how does that play into measuring the Manning brothers?
Oh, that's an excellent storyline. I think before this year, everyone thought that, you know, hands it down, as you said, Freddie, Peyton Manning is going to go down as one of the top quarterbacks ever to play in the NFL. But the fact that his brother is there, in his stadium, playing Tom Brady, the man, as you mentioned, that the Colts could not get by through the Patriots dynasty, is going to be huge. And I made the point yesterday talking to a buddy of mine on his radio show that, in a way, you would think Eli, because of the relationship that him and his brother have, you know, I could really see Eli saying, you know what, big brother, I'm going to get this one for you. And I have to believe that Peyton Manning will be happy for his little brother, Eli, who he's helped make his transition. Because, remember, Eli pretty much shunned the San Diego Chargers when he came to the league. He came out of Ole Miss. No one considered him on the same pedigree as his brother Peyton Manning. But here he is coming into the NFL saying, I'm definitely not going to play for this team. He ends up in the New York Giants. Of course, the New York media ate Eli up the first couple of years. Even with that Super Bowl championship, Eli never really fully got this respect that I thought that he deserved. And now he's on the cusp of one-upping his brother and the Super Bowl in his brother's city. This is going to be a huge game for so many reasons, as you mentioned, Freddie, and I can't wait to touch down in Indianapolis.
Well, you know, one thing I do want to say when you talk about that brother, that brother situation, I love the fact that it doesn't appear, at least in public, that there's a rivalry, that there's this thing between Eli, you know, I'm going to be better than him, or Peyton trying to not support him, that truly they realize at the end of the day, that's my brother, I'm going to help you in any way that I can, and, you know, let's go ahead and just do this. And I really appreciate that, and obviously it says a lot about Archie and the dynamics of the culture of their family, but it's rare to see people truly not be selfish in a situation like this. And I think you made a really good point for Eli, maybe to have a little extra motivation to be in Indianapolis in light of the fact that Peyton Manning built that stadium for all intents and purposes. That there is no Lucas Oil Field, you know, if Peyton isn't there, and with all the turn of events that's been happening there with that organization, with the Colts, you know, I think there's a statement that the Manning family is going to definitely want to make in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and that's why I'm definitely going to go ahead. I think I'm going to go ahead and lean more towards the Giants in this Super Bowl. I know the New England Patriots have been playing extremely well. Both teams have been playing extremely well. But I think when it gets to the Super Bowl, I have to go with the most balanced team. And I think I'm definitely going to have to go with the New York Giants. Numbers really don't matter. You look at the Patriots' defense, 31st in the league. It all comes down to, you know this, Freddie, it comes to wins and losses, how many points that you score. All those statistics go out the door. They can't get into the end zone. And you force a dynamic team like New England Patriots to play and win with field goals. And I think that's what the New England offense is going to have to do. Gronkowski may not be 100%. I think the New York Giants have a chip on their shoulder. They're already underdogs by 3.5 points, that I believe. And I think they have something to prove. I think they're playing great football right now, and I think their defense is going to be able to do, not totally stop the Golden Boy Tom Brady, but actually slow him down enough. And I think Eli, with his prediction earlier this year, has gained the confidence not only of his teammate, but also the city and the nation. I think he's going to ride that way to a Super Bowl championship.
And, you know, I really believe, I agree with you. I'm leaning towards the Giants in this one. And that not just because of the Manning situation, but when you look at it, really you're looking at strength versus strength and what are the weaknesses of the teams. And when you look at the Patriots, of course, they're a pass-happy offense. You know, they trust the arm, that right arm of Tom Brady, and understandably so. But that also plays into the strength of the Giants' defense, which is their vicious pass rush. They don't have to blitz a whole lot. They have a front four that can put pressure on the quarterback. And in the last Super Bowl, you know, the reason why the Giants won is the pressure they were able to put on Brady, and the fact that they were able to sort of keep sort of a max coverage out there and get enough pressure to throw off some timing, bump the receivers a little bit, and it just threw their game off a little bit. They're not going to get the mass numbers like you used to see. Remember the game earlier this season when Welker just torched, I think it was the Dolphins, and it was a max blitz, you know, and they don't have to do that. I can get pressure on Brady with just my front four.
Exactly, and that's going to cover up a whole lot of a whole. You know, if you give Tom Brady time, he's going to pick you apart. He's that methodical with his pass, with his throwing ability, and when he passes the ball. So, as you said, Freddie, with the opportunity, when you have a front four that can get after him, you have all those guys that play zone defense, and I guarantee you, they're not going to give Tom Brady too many windows. And if they can hold up their covers long enough, that front four from the New York Giants will get their hands on Tom Brady.
You listen to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families go. We're joined by Lamar Campbell, host of Life After the Game, talking this week in Super Bowl, getting ready to take place in Indianapolis. Huge matchup with Tom Brady, Eli Manning, and something that I think people need to really understand here, and why I feel that the Giants do have an edge here, is the fact that last time the Giants beat the Patriots, mainly because there were matchup problems that they were able to offer the Patriots, and when you think about it, Eli Manning is at least five times better than he was 4 years ago. And now they also have more than just one receiver. Last time it was Plaxico Burress, who was their big threat offensively. Back then it was Amani Toomer, who was on the other side, which was more of a possession type guy, but really wasn't a game breaker threat. Now on the offensive side for the Giants, you've got Hakeem Nicks, you've got Victor Cruz, you've got some threats on offense in addition to the same Bradshaw and Jacobs that can pound the ball, and a more experienced and a confident Eli Manning. I really like the solid, balanced, ground and pound, or if I need to throw it, I can do it, attack that the Giants are going to pose some problems to the Patriots.
Oh, some huge problems. I mean, you look at what Eli has done this year. You know, as far as NFL numbers are concerned, Eli has more fourth-quarter touchdown passes than any quarterback in the NFL. As you said, but you look at his receiving core. And one thing that, you know, you have both played in the league. Guys are always going to play hard. Guys are always going to give 100%. But it's something about that contract year. And you look at what Victor Cruz has been doing throughout the season and through this year in the playoffs. It is Victor Cruz's contract year. And I expect him to have a huge game at the Super Bowl. And he's going to be looking for a huge contract in the offseason.
Yeah, I think he definitely has deserved a huge contract after pretty much coming from nowhere and having a record-breaking season there with the Giants. We've got 30 seconds before we go to break. What is your prediction on the score?
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go with the New York Giants 34, the New England Patriots 29. It's going to be a barn burner. I think I'm going to really enjoy the defense playing well. But I think it's going to be not as epic as Rafael Nadal and Djokovic this weekend, but I'm looking forward to see Eli Manning go throw for throw with Tom Brady, and I'm taking Eli Manning in a shootout against the Golden Boy.
I'm going to pick the Giants as well, 31-28, a close game, because you can't just say that the Patriots won't be able to put any points up. But I believe that the Giants, at the end of the day, have a balanced enough offense and a balanced enough attack, both on offense and defense, where they're going to get the edge this weekend. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the CEO of the National Center for Fathering, Carrie Casey, as we talk about how fathers can be more involved in their kids' education. You're listening to Life After the Game.
internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thanks you once again for joining us. Again, if you want to call in, the call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. If you're just joining us, we had a Lamar Campbell, host of Life After the Game on the Voice America Sports Channel, joining us as we talked about the Super Bowl coverage. We both are leaning towards the Giants in this weekend with all the coverage and all the things, all the hype about it. I just came back from Indianapolis, and you already saw all the hotels in town have the Super Bowl banners up as the city is really preparing to pretty much have a week-long party. But I think that they're really positioned and really put on a great show. And most importantly, I think it's going to be a great game between two very deserving teams. And so I think there's going to be a great opportunity for us, hopefully even have another opportunity for them to recapture the magic from the last show, the last Super Bowl where they played, where it's just down to the wire and just a highly competitive game. I don't see either one of these teams being able to just overpower the other one. This definitely should be a four-quarter game. And again, I wanted to thank the city of Indianapolis once again for hosting me this weekend. I had the opportunity to speak to almost 100 at-risk kids. They were in juvenile detention center, and they opened up their facility and allowed their parents to come in. And unfortunately, only about 20% of the kids' parents or family actually showed up. So obviously there's some kids there with some heavy hearts because their family wasn't there, but we simply talked to them about, are you living in the mission, living in the moment or living on a mission? And it was exciting to be able to see how many young people really wanted to be able to make a difference, in their lives and make a difference moving forward and not continue to make the same mistakes in the past. Right now we're joined by the CEO of the National Center for Fathering, Mr. Kerry Casey. He was on the show last week, and we were so excited about the information that he was sharing. And there's so much knowledge that he has about fathers and the impact and the work that he's doing across the country as a member of President Obama's Fatherhood Initiative Program and the work that he's doing. We're honored and excited to have him joining us once again. Dr. Casey, thank you so much once again for joining us.
Oh, thank you so very much for having me today. I'm honored. It is my pleasure.
Well, last week we really had a great time talking about not only giving people some history about yourself and the work that you're doing, but we were talking about the impact of an involved father. And for those of you that may have missed the show last week, Dr. Casey, could you just give a little bit more about yourself, your background, and your passion to help men and families across the country?
Oh, I'm so very honored to share that. I don't want to talk too much about myself, but the greatest thing I can do is to be a man of God, a husband, and a father. The rest is icing on the cake. And when I say that, I was very blessed with a wonderful dad, very much involved in the civil rights movement and all of that. Just to make it plain, I remembered years ago when I was a little boy and I saw my father called the N-word. And my dad looked down at me and he would say, "Son, evidently they don't know my name." Mm. And so he really knew who he was because he was a Christian. And so that's who I am today. I play ball at North Carolina. I play football at that great basketball school. But the greatest thing that happened there was not going to bowl games and all that, or winning the ACC, or rooming with a great linebacker by the name of Lawrence Taylor. The greatest thing happened to me was going to geography class and turning around and seeing this sweetheart with a big afro, and I followed her out of class. Now we've been married for 34 years, and she's a first grade teacher, and we have 4 children and 5 grandchildren, 1 grandchild on the way. So I'm living out my dream, but I didn't know it would be this busy or this hard. But one of the great things about it is I get to fight with you and everyone else. When I say fight, we have a fathering crisis in America. 25 million children will go to bed tonight without their biological father in the home. And when that happens, a child is more likely to be poor, more likely to drop out of school, more likely to be involved in a violent crime, and girls are more likely to be pregnant as a teenager. Now, by a dad just being there, those statistics flip-flop. There are no perfect dads. I'm not perfect. My pop wasn't perfect. The best dad on this earth is not perfect. But it is a fact every child needs a father, grandfather, or father figure in their lives. And when they have an involved father, they thrive educationally. They thrive socially. They thrive spiritually, believe it or not. And so we're just very thankful to be in the fight to really change this culture of fathering in America.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We are honored to be joined by Dr. Kerry Casey, the CEO of the National Center for Fathering, and we're talking about the impact of involved fathers in the lives of children today. And again, I saw this firsthand this weekend of almost 100, they call them residents, but they're children that were in juvenile detention center. And
wow.
I had the opportunity to speak to them and encourage them. And the thing that really just, you know, just hurt me was the fact that this is a day in which the entire facility, you know, families can come. And it's the first time they've ever done this. Usually when you're there, you're locked up, and you do your time. But this time they open up the facility, the entire facility, not just the visitation room, but gave the parents a tour of the entire facility to let them know this is what we do and why we do it, and this is where your child sleeps, and here's the classes that they take. And, and you know what's sad? Less than 20% of the residents' families actually came. 80% of the kids were still there sitting by themselves.
Yeah.
And so we had to fill in that void and to see, even going beyond that, asking them, how many of you are already parents?
Wow.
And as young as 14 years old.
Yes.
Young boys saying, "I'm already a dad."
Yes.
You know, some of them had a couple kids. And so when you're talking about involved, the role that we have, I love what you said there. No one is perfect. There's only one person that I know was perfect, and that was Jesus. Outside of that, we all fall short. So the prerequisite for being there, for being present, is not perfection.
You're right.
All we need to do is just be present. And
I'm excited, Freddie, because of what you did last weekend in being there. that's what it takes. And I got a few thoughts that I think you wanted me to follow up on in terms of some solutions. But
yes.
By you just being there, Freddie, this weekend, and 20% of the parents showed up or folks showed up to even visit with these folks, it is so very sad. That's where the kids are headed if they don't have a dad. If we allow the culture in this society to raise the kids, that's what we're going to get, because prison's sitting there and waiting on them. But the great part is, by just having an involved father, it gives them vision. It gives them direction. It gives them hope. It brings out the greatness in them. In essence, in Jeremiah, the first chapter there, it talks about, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. There's something that you can do, Freddie, that no one else can do. There are a number of African-American people. There are a number of people that play ball. There are a number of people that are fathers, yes. But your calling and your passion, I can feel it. That's why I'm on your program twice and want to be involved more, because I read the book Tipping Point we did, and it talks about a movement, if you will. My staff and some of them read the book, and talking about a movement. You don't need a lot of people. So there are 65 million fathers in America. We want to get to 10% of the 65. That's 6.5 million. What are we saying? I firmly believe, as my book states, Championship Fathering, if we can get 6.5 million fathers to be championship fathers, most men are 2.5 feet wide. So what does that look like? Shoulder to shoulder, from Boston Harbor to San Diego, California, that's what it looks like as far as championship fathers. Now, what is a championship father, real quick? I get passionate about this. Please forgive me and stop me and ask me a question to go in another direction if you want.
If we could, we're going to be going to break in about 2 minutes. So,
Let me go through this real quick. Pick it up right after the break. Great. I've been in Angola prison, been in L.A. County Jail, and these folks. Angola prison is one of the toughest prisons in the country. It used to be one of the bloodiest, if you will. But these guys are coming to know Christ in record numbers. Their warden is a Christian as well. But these guys will never get out of prison. But they're saying, Mr. Casey, I need you to help us. Help me to make sure that we can cut off the curse. And that is in Malachi 4:6, God wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers, or the land would continue to be cursed. So they're saying, my daddy was in this prison. Now I'm in the prison, and my kids are going to be here if we don't cut this curse off. And so they're saying, do whatever you can to help me to cut off this curse, because I don't want my children to be here. And these guys are lifers. Only 3% of them would get out of Angola jail, prison, if you will, and they would die there. I saw the graveyard where they are buried, and I mean that they would be buried in all of this if their families don't come and claim them and recognize them, if you will. But anyway, I know we just got a few moments. We need to take a break or whatever, but I got some solutions from our research of what God is doing to help change this country into a championship fathering culture.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We're honored to have Dr. Kerry Casey, the CEO of the National Center for Fathering, talking about what does an involved father actually look like. Now, and when we come back after the break, there may also be another group of guys that I believe is a pretty large group.
Mm-hmm.
A group of guys that say, I love my family, I love my kids, but you know what? There's custody issues, or the mom won't let me be around, or the dynamics around it just is a lot of drama. So I felt the best thing for me to do is to remove myself from the situation, because I didn't want the kids around the drama.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell a dad that has custody issues, or issues that, you know, it seems like there's issues between him and the mom? If you could address that also right after the break, we would greatly appreciate it. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show.
Me.
your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
School to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Once again, this is your show, America. And again, we are honored to be joined by Dr. Kerry Casey, the CEO of the National Center for Fathering, as well as he's on a part of the President Obama's Fatherhood Initiative program nationwide. If you have questions or comments, feel free to call. The call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. If you have questions for me or Mr. Casey or things specific to your situation with your family, feel free to give us a call. We'd be honored to answer your questions as well. Right now we're going to have the Skit Guys talk about a dad's legacy. Let's listen to them as they talk about the real impact of dads. Here's the Skit Guys.
You have everything, right?
Yeah, Dad, I got everything. I got the stove, the sleeping bag, the liners, the matches, and the cooler.
Clean underwear?
Yeah, when Jenny packed the girls' bags, I'm sure she packed the girls' clean underwear.
I mean for you.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
Because if you forgot, you
Dad,
know...
Dad, I didn't forget them.
If not, you just flip them inside out. You'll be fine. Hey, now remember, the s'mores. You want to make sure you get the chocolate.
I know, Dad. I need to melt the chocolate before I add the marshmallows. That way, it all melts smoothly.
Yeah. Taking both girls camping. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I mean, it was one thing taking you and your brothers, but girls? Wow, that's a whole different ball game.
I can do it.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, son?
Yeah?
Listen to me. Have a great weekend. Make some good memories with those fine girls of yours. It's a privilege being a dad. You get to show them God's big old world, probably some stuff they've never seen this weekend. Just remind them who made it. Have fun with them. Laugh a lot. You were always such a serious little guy. Hey, I love you, boy.
I love you too.
Who are you talking to?
Nobody.
Hey!
Are you ready for this?
I'm really ready!
Alright.
You're really gonna do this, aren't you? Why don't you just take her to the mall? Maybe ride a carousel, watch a movie?
I got this, trust me.
least let me take this one.
Are you kidding me? She looks like me and has your personality. She's the life of the party. Why would I do that?
Do you pack clean underwear?
Why does everybody keep asking me about that?
Here's your diaper panties.
It's called underwear.
Why don't you let me go with you?
No.
I think your dad would be proud of you. Even though there are much easier ways to celebrate Father's Day.
Maybe. But you know what? It's what we do. Me and my dad. It's our thing.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Again, this is your show, America, and again, we're joined by Dr. Carrie Casey, the CEO of the National Center for Fathering, as we're talking about what does it look like for a dad to be involved and the real impact that men can have in the home and in the hearts of children and positioning them for success in life. Before the break, we started talking about issues that some guys can relate with where it's not a thing of them not wanting to be there with their kids, but some of them can't be there either through custody and legal issues or through drama and things that in which it didn't work out with the children's mother, and sometimes there's dynamics in there that sort of make things a little complicated. And yet those children fall under those numbers of being fatherless or not being in the home where their biological father is there. And so, Dr. Casey, talk to that guy. What can that person do to try to reach out, if at all possible, to their children?
Yes, I really appreciate your thoughts on that, Freddie. And it is a fact. We talk about the crisis a lot, and it is a crisis, and it's reached epidemic proportions in America. But I think about it's an outrage when you think of a child that is a child and has to raise themselves or whatever comes their way, the gang-related opportunities and the social evils that we're dealing with within our country. Believe it or not, if daddies were there and cut off that curse, we would do well. But there are dads that have gone through some drama, as you stated, and all that. Sometimes there are, you know, economic issues. For instance, I mean, sometimes we talk about deadbeat dads. But believe it or not, they're dead broke dads at times.
Mm-hmm.
They are very hurt. They're very pained. It is embarrassing. They feel shame. They feel guilt when they're not able to take care of their children. I firmly believe that every man that is a father, deep within his heart, no matter what he's gone through, that he really does love his children. And through our research here at the National Center for Fathering, of thousands of dads, Freddie, here's what comes out. Of thousands of dads, there's three things that clearly comes out, and we have done the research here. By the way, if you visit our website, and we're teaming up together, you and I now, as we, with Tony Dungy and a lot of folks, and really cutting off this curse, but believe it or not, four ways we do it, in essence, of what we do. We have strong research, we have resources, we have training, and we have programs. We have father-daughter summits, and we have fathering court, and a lot of great opportunities, championship fathering seminars as well. But here's what I'm saying. Thousands of dads, three things clearly come out. Number one, of Christian dads or non-Christian dad, here's what takes place, is that they're loving. They love the child, and they love the child's mother. Even if they're not married to the mom, they love her. In essence, they respect her. Even if they're divorced, what I'm saying of those dads that you're talking about, even if the mother is negative, she's rude, she's arrogant, she's talking negatively about you, that is hard. But the real man, the father, steps up. And in essence, he respects her, he loves her, he does not belittle her. And so they are loving, but it clearly comes out. They love that child unconditionally. I have three grown children, and my bride and I, we kept having fun. Now we have Chance, who's 14. And Chance came to me when he was 10. He's 14 now.
Wow.
Chance came to me. He said, Daddy, Marcellus played football. That's his older brother, and I played ball. He said, and Daddy, you play football, but I don't like football. And so I'm like, son, you got to strap on something. You got to put a ball on this. Anyway, but believe it or not, the next night I had to speak to the Kansas City Chiefs. And Jared Allen, who just played in the Pro Bowl yesterday, he was here with the Chiefs. He goes over to my son, and he says, Chance, are you going to play football? Are you going to play for the Chiefs? And he was playing for the Chiefs back then. Jared was. And my son looked him right in the eye, and he said, I don't like football. I'm never playing football and all this. I said, son, this is Daddy's job. Don't say that. But anyway, Freddie, a day or so later, Chance looked me right in the eye, did not move his eyes, and he said, Daddy, do you still like me and love me, although I don't like football? I said, son, if you never touch a ball, you're Daddy's seed. You're my son. I love you. And he's a tennis player, and he likes playing the piano. And he's wired a little different, but he needs my love. Number two, they love, but then here's what a daddy can do. That when he's with his children, when he writes them letters, when he connects with them over the phone, he has to keep his poise. He can't lose his mind. And it's like Tony Dungy when he coached, and he talks about this, a good coach knows his players, and he is aware of their tendencies and how they're wired. When I used to be a chaplain with the Dallas Cowboys, Coach Landry was there. He would preach so loud that some days he would even use mere words. And so he was saying a lot even when he wasn't speaking, the way he carried himself. So the point I'm making is this, Freddie, and I share with the dads that are out there, the way that we can do it, and I see it through the research, is loving your kids and say it over the phone, write them letters, words of affirmation, look them in the eye when you get a chance, and let them know if Daddy could be there, he would be there. Even if a gentleman's in prison today and hearing what we're talking about, let them know. Read, write notes, communicate over the phone, whatever you can do. And when it's your turn with your child, to let them know that and to affirm them. But you love them, but you coach them. Be aware of what they're going through. Don't let it all be about you and everything, about what Daddy's going through. Be mature. Grow in Christ in such a way. Have the mind of Christ. Renew your mind. And see, when Tony Dungy was fired from Tampa Bay, didn't lose his mind, this type of thing. Jim Caldwell was just released by the Colts a few days back. Now he's there at the Ravens, I understand. But you don't lose your mind. You keep your poise. You walk as Christ walked. And then you can coach your children. And players will follow a wonderful coach. He doesn't have to be the best and the brightest, but they want their dad. They want to be affirmed and to be blessed by him. So coach your children. But then, not only do you coach your children, but then you model for them. This clearly comes out of our research, as I stated, Freddie. Mm-hmm. Loving, coaching, they model. This in my book, Championship Fathering, and all the stories and all the research and resources are right there in that book. If you go to fathers.com and go to Barnes & Nobles and get it and all of that. But they model. And I think I shared it earlier, Freddie, where my dad was called the N-word. But I will forever be grateful how he said, son, evidently they don't know my name.
Wow.
And all these years later, Freddie, you have been a father figure. You're a father to your children. We can have all the things on the wall and play ball and be in all these various Hall of Fames in your hometown and all of that. But believe it or not, that doesn't turn Chance on in my older children. They just want their dad, and so I have to model for them. My dad modeled it for me, and I watched some of my friends' dads. My dad wasn't perfect, but some of my friends' dads were not great role models. But see, I don't have the excuse to say I didn't see it.
Right.
No dad in tough situations. Real men and real fathers, when it's hard, they step up.
That's it.
Just like with Dr.
Kerry Casey, CEO of the National Center for Fathering. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, giving some great advice on how we can be engaged with our families. When we come back, we're going to pick up this conversation right there. And also right after the break, you're going to hear Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy giving his story about his first car. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
My first car, I was a sophomore in college, it was 1974, and I got a 1968 Buick LeSabre. My dad got it for me, but he made me work for it. I remember it to this day. The car cost $650, and I had to come up with half of it, so I had to do a lot of work over the summer to pay my dad to get this car for my sophomore year in college. That car was pretty special. Made it through a lot of Minnesota winters and held up for me. And my dad was right. He picked out a good solid car for me. But now, 3 years later, I'm a rookie with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I didn't want to be one of those guys who got his bonus check and bought a new car. So I was pretty determined to keep my car through my rookie year. The first game of the season, I pulled up into the players' parking lot. My window wouldn't roll up anymore. So I had a towel in the window, and I had this car that is by now, it's like 9 years old, and the attendant said, "I know you don't play for the Steelers. You found this ticket. You found this ticket." So I was embarrassed, and I ended up buying a new car right after that. But that car lasted me all through college and through half of my rookie year in the NFL, my 68 LeSabre.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. And don't forget, you can always subscribe or find the show on iTunes, so you can listen to it on your iPhone, your iPad, your Android. Just go to iTunes and do a search for the Freddie Scott Show. And you can be able to download and listen to all our shows on demand, as well as share it with your friends. Though you can share it through Facebook, through Twitter. You try to make it as easy and convenient for you as possible to be able to get this information and share this information. And we want to thank you again for making this show so successful and helping to spread the word across America. Everyone that loves their family and is serious about being the best they can to successfully love and lead their family. We've been joined today by the CEO of the National Center for Fathering, Dr. Kerry Casey, and he's been giving some awesome advice on how to be involved and engaged with our families. And simply put, I believe what Mr. Casey's been saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Casey, is that simply just do what you can. You don't have to be perfect.
No.
Just do what you can. It doesn't matter if you're incarcerated and it's writing letters, or if you're not incarcerated, but maybe I'm separated from the mother and we don't live together, but I can do what I can. If it's a phone call, if it's a letter, if it's, you know, doing what I say I'm going to do, you know, whatever it is that I can do to do that. Would you say that that's correct?
That is totally right. And a word that comes to my mind, Freddie, is consistency. Keep your poise, those types of things. Don't lose your mind. And the team that will win the Super Bowl this coming weekend will be the team that keeps their poise the best, that makes the fewest amount of mistakes in all of this. You don't have to be the greatest athlete. You don't have to be the greatest dad. You don't have to have a great title, but do you have a testimony? Mm-hmm. And so bottom line is you weather the storms. And one thing through what you were talking about, and we were talking about earlier, Freddie, is through the research, it is a fact. It's not just stuff that we think up. But the research at the National Center for Fathering is people go to our website, and we have the footnotes and bibliography. It's not rocket science. We make it too complicated sometimes, and we don't want the dads to feel that way. We want them to realize that they can be a winner. They don't have to have a big name. They don't have to have a big job. And believe it or not, Chance, my 14-year-old, he doesn't care how much money I make. He wants to know that I care. And he wants his dad there. And I think about it, I may have shared it last week when we were together, but the school bus, when Chance was in junior high in eighth grade, he's in the ninth grade now, but last year his bus would stop in front of the house. He would get on the bus. I would have my bathrobe on. I wouldn't be out there with my bathrobe on, but I would, when he gets ready to get on the bus, and things, I would have my bathrobe and get the newspaper and all that. And I said, son, daddy's going to wave at the bus driver and your friends. And he's like, no, dad, get in the house. He would be so embarrassed, you know, if I was to wave at his friends or talk to the bus driver. So I said, let me get on the porch. And he's like, no, get in the house and turn out the light in the foyer. He didn't want to see dad out there. He would be embarrassed in my bathrobe, bedroom slippers. He would leave before me. But do you know, every night that I'm home, I can hear his voice if I'm late. And he says, Daddy, in the house somewhere. He'll say, Daddy, are you going to tuck me in? He really needs his dad. So believe it or not, don't let any dad that's listening to me, don't let somebody tell you your children don't need you.
That's right.
Baby mama drama and everything. Your children still need you. Even if the mother loses her mind, even if people tell you your kids don't want to see you, deep within them, they want and need their dad. So you make sure
that
you do what's right and you carry yourself with great dignity, and only Christ can really give you the strength to do that.
You know, I notice sometimes, depending upon what's happening in the life of a young person, sometimes they want to see if dad is really sincere. And that word consistency is so appropriate. You know, is this a phone call just once because you felt bad that you haven't done it for a while, or are you really going to be here? Can I really hope that I have my dad back? Can I really hope that this is going to be what my life is going to look like in the future? I want to thank you so much, Dr. Casey. We have just 20 seconds before I've got to close, but could you make sure people know your website and where they can get a copy of your book?
Yeah, they can go to www.fathers.com, and they can get the book here. And quite naturally, you can get it in a local bookstore. We're in, you know, Barnes & Noble's and the basic stores that, you know, sell the book. So You can go there as well, but you can get it right here at fathers.com.
I want to thank you so much, and our friends at All Pro Dad actually gave us some great tips on 10 ways to be your child's hero. I'm going to post it on the show's Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and look up the Freddie Scott Show, there's going to be a post there for 10 ways to be your child's hero. A lot of things we've just talked about, the understanding that you are your kid's Superman.
Yeah.
To open your heart to your kids, to love and respect your wife for their mother. Mm-hmm. Tell them a bedtime story. Be understanding. Give them a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that, you know what, you need to have time and have dinner time with the family together. Show them how to live. And this is not the past. This is a time where men need to be intentional and loving and leading their family. Until next week, this is Freddie Scott reminding you to love and lead your families, and we look forward to hearing you as we do this all again next week after the Super Bowl. Have a great day.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me. We'll